It is 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. Good morning. You are tuned in into Community Radio Listener Supported, KGNU. I am Rosanna Longo-Better in for Shannon Young. Coming up on this morning magazine, Telluride locals from Ukraine reflect on war. After that, as always, on Wednesday morning, we will have Chris Moore's commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us regular feature Naturally. A BBC update is at the bottom of the hour after Jim Hightower lowdown. Sam Fuqua will look some of the research related to the Marshall Fire. We will hear from Lori Peake, head of the Natural Hazards Center at CU Boulder. Then a conversation with Boulder musician and musical ambassador for peace, Cameron Powers. He passed away last month. And then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative will play 2.5 hours of music until noon. But first, we will listen to local headlines. Here is Hannah Stewart.
Climate and conservation groups have sued the U.S. Interior Department after it failed to respond to a Freedom of Information Act filed in December. The groups allege that the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management within the Interior Department withheld 75% of requested documents. The timing of this lawsuit is critical. The Interior Department just announced plans to resume federal oil and gas extraction, all while scientists are warning against long-term effects of climate pollution. The Boulder County Board of Commissioners unanimously approved a contract for its Marshall Fire Debris Cleanup Program on Tuesday. The intergovernmental agreement will require reimbursement to Boulder County for costs of private property debris removal that is not covered by the state or FEMA. The agreement involving the Marshall Fire cleanup previously gained approval in Louisville and Superior. On Tuesday, commissioners also approved a $60 million contract with DRC Emergency Services. The approval will allow for the company to complete debris removal work for more than 800 property owners involved in the program. The program is expected to last 4 months after 1 or 2 weeks of preparatory work. The BA2 COVID-19 variant that has been nicknamed Stealth Omicron is now the dominant variant around the world. Multiple communities in Colorado, including Boulder County, have detected the subvariant. KGNU's Zoe Schacht has more.
In recent months, officials have begun lifting mask mandates, calling for a return to normalcy. Now the BA2 subvariant has found itself in Boulder, causing COVID cases to rise again. According to the World Health Organization, the subvariant of Omicron now accounts for 75% of COVID cases around the world. It has been found in Colorado through both wastewater samples and human specimens. BA2 was first detected in Boulder County in early February, but now surpasses Omicron cases. According to the Colorado Department of Health, on March 10th, 16 of 39 total testing sites have detected the variant in their wastewater. The United Kingdom Health Security Agency estimates that the new subvariant is growing 80% faster than the original Omicron variant. However, researchers have found the variant causes less severe illness than the Delta variant and has lower levels of hospitalization, similar to the Omicron variant. Despite the rising cases, Denver officials say they are not as concerned about this subvariant. For KGNU, I'm Zoe Schacht.
Amazon is building a new 600,000-square-foot fulfillment center in Loveland that could employ more than 1,000 people. Since the building project is still in its fledgling stages, it's possible that it could change or even grow larger, according to Kelly Jones, an economic development director for Loveland. A city press release reported Tuesday that Amazon has invested more than $5.5 billion in Colorado and created more than 20,000 jobs since 2010. In the same release, Amazon Senior Manager for Economic Development and Public Policy said the company is excited about being closer to our customers and our ability to work with the city of Loveland to continue our investment in the state of Colorado. Colorado House Majority Leader Danaya Escar is seeking to expand legal protections for same-sex couples looking to adopt their biological children. Escar introduced House Bill 1153, seeking to streamline the adoption process of children born through assisted reproduction, like in vitro fertilization. Same-sex parents are still adopting their own children so as to protect parental protections in all 50 states. Escar has said that it's up to Congress to address proactive parental affirmation. At the end of February, the House passed the bill with bipartisan vote, and it is now headed to the state Senate to start hearings. The Boulder Library Champions are asking community members to send emails to the City Council and County Commissioners ahead of a public hearing scheduled for April 5th. The Champions argue that transitioning from a municipal library model to one of a library district will result in more sustainable funding for the Boulder Public Library system. If successful in creating a library district, the Boulder Public Library would be funded by property taxes rather than sales tax, as it is now. Since 2021, a library district advisory board has been meeting to recommend logistical aspects such as district boundaries, services provided, and more. Starting Thursday, March 31st, interested parties can sign up to attend the public hearing. According to Jennifer Wilson, executive director of the Denver chapter of the International Rescue Committee, up to 20,000 Ukrainian Americans are currently living in the state. Especially since the outbreak of the war in Ukraine, it's expected that more refugees will come to Colorado, and local leaders are advocating for them. In a roundtable on Tuesday, U.S. Representative Diana DeGette hosted two Ukrainian families. She has also been calling for refugees to have temporary protected status and to speed up the immigration process. First Gentleman Marlon Reese is scheduled to greet the First Lady Jill Biden on Friday. On Saturday, the First Lady is set to speak at the White House Initiative Latino Economic Summit at the Community College of Denver, and again later at the Latin American Education Foundation Gala. The First Lady and President previously visited Colorado in January after the devastating Marshall Fire, assessing damage and meeting with victims. This week's events will touch on education and the state's mission to increase broadband internet access. Today in Boulder, it will be sunny with a high of 55 degrees and a low of 37 later tonight. At times, winds could occasionally gust to 40 miles per hour. Outside of Boulder Studios, it is currently 23 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Hannah Stewart.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Reverberations from Russia's invasion of Ukraine are being felt around the world, even in rural Colorado. KOTO Matt Hoish spoke with Telluride locals from Ukraine and Russia about the invasion and what it's like being far from home as war erupts.
For a lot of people in the Telluride region, the Russian invasion of Ukraine might feel like a distant news story. But for Lena Demura, it's personal.
So I have two aunts, I have two grandmas, I have my cousins, I have a lot of my friends that I grew up with. They're still in Ukraine.
Demura was born in Ukraine and has lived in the Telluride area for a little over a decade. As recently as late February, she was planning to visit her family over off-season. But then, things shifted.
I came to work and I called my sister just to check on her, just because I've heard things were escalating in my country. And I just wanted to see how she's doing, how she's coping, how she's feeling. And it was the first time that I actually heard fear in her voice, that she felt like she was alone because I wasn't there, my parents weren't there. Although she lived in the neighborhood with my aunts and my grandmas, like she wasn't physically alone or technically alone, but this is how she felt. And then, so that was a little hard. And then I, sorry, I called my aunt and she was telling me that I'm probably not going to see them anytime soon. And she was scared for her life, and she wasn't sure whether they will be able to make a life after this conflict, and things haven't even started.
That was shortly before Russian troops entered the country. Her sister, she says, managed to get out on a train and meet up with her parents in Prague, but her other family members are still in Ukraine, praying, she says, they won't be hit by a missile. Demura also knows people fighting to protect the country.
My uncle right now, he's currently just protecting the major plant in my city. He's doing like, I think, 12-hour shifts, so he's not necessarily in the front line. But I do have a friend in the trenches right now in Kyiv.
Other locals also have connections to the conflict. Victoria Petrova was born in Ukraine and moved to Russia when she was two. Her father is Russian and her mother is Ukrainian. She came to Telluride about 2 years ago, after marrying her wife, who she met in Moscow.
She was teaching English, and I was learning English, so.
Petrova says she couldn't believe a war would happen until the last minute when Russia invaded Ukraine.
They're literally trying to ask, fight like brother against brother, you know, and it's crazy.
Petrova has families in both countries. She's against the war, but says one of her cousins in Russia isn't.
She thinks like Ukrainians are lying about war. She doesn't believe it. But again, she's one of those people who's watching TV and believes that Putin is right. So I have like one side of the family is like trusting Putin and another side of the family who's like escaping from Ukraine because it's a hell there, you know. So it's kind of, it's weird.
Another Telluride local who moved to the area from Russia has concerns about loved ones still in the country and asked to remain anonymous. So I'll call them Sam. Sam is against the war and says they see similarities with Germany's invasion of Poland in 1939. Most of the people they're in touch with in Russia are also against the war, but some people close to them, they note, are for it. Sam decided to watch some Russian TV news to see what those people are seeing. They say, quote, "Honestly, it was incredible. It was a level of German Joseph Goebbels propaganda," referring to the Nazi minister of propaganda. They say the coverage is mostly old recordings out of context. Sam explains they're ashamed to have a Russian passport, but adds they feel this is not the people of Russia's war. Rather, it's the war of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Petrova says she feels hate from people for her being Russian, even though she was born in Ukraine and is against the war.
Even like my mom was telling me, like, Vika, please don't tell anybody that you're Russian because like it can be scary.
For Petrova, being in Telluride while all this is happening is hard.
I don't know how to help people here in Telluride. Like, I know like lots of Ukrainian gets really angry of like reposting something and like it doesn't help much, all this repost and like, yes, we support, we stand for Ukraine. It doesn't help because it's just like social media. But I just feel a little bit helpless. I feel safe because nothing's happening here, but I feel helpless that I can't help.
For Demura, it's also hard being in Telluride right now.
I would rather be there in the middle of this thing and try to contribute my time to the military or protect the wounded or help them than just sitting over here and not knowing to what my family's going to wake up the next day.
A lot of people say Telluride, isolated in the San Juan Mountains, is a bubble. But in our increasingly interconnected world, nowhere is truly a bubble. For KOTO in Telluride, I'm Matt Hoisch.
Up next is Make Them Hear You with Chris Moore.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. COVID cases are going down in the U.S., but over 950 people a day are still dying from COVID. New versions of the Delta and Omicron variants are driving up infection rates yet again in Europe, Hong Kong, and other locations. As exhausting as the COVID issue is, we are not yet out of the woods. Biden has urgently asked Congress to keep funding alive to improve access to testing, treatment, and medications like Evusheld and Paxlovid. White House COVID-19 Response Coordinator Jeff Zients on Monday renewed the Biden administration's urgent call for Congress to pass pandemic supplemental funding or face severe consequences. But there is uncertainty for the legislative path forward for additional money for the federal government's pandemic response. Biden just asked for $22.5 billion in supplemental COVID-19 relief funding in the latest omnibus funding bill, but because of pushback from both Republicans and some Democrats, Nancy Pelosi announced that COVID provisions would be stripped from the funding bill, which passed without them. House Democrats have introduced a standalone COVID relief bill, but it does not have currently enough votes to pass both chambers. Zients said, quote, "Prior to the omnibus, we spent weeks briefing Congress on the urgent and immediate needs that required funding to sustain our response through June. We sent Congress a targeted request for $22.5 billion to meet these urgent medical needs. We requested Congress to provide these funds as emergency resources without requiring cuts elsewhere to offset them that would jeopardize them moving forward, as lawmakers have done multiple times on a bipartisan basis under the prior administration. I want to be very clear, additional funds are necessary in the very near future to avoid disruptions to ongoing COVID response efforts, close quote. If Congress doesn't act, Zients said, quote, it would result in severe consequences, close quote, for efforts toward treatment, testing, vaccines, efforts to help deliver more vaccines globally, and fight future variants. Putting the plan into place requires additional congressional funding, including money for vaccines, treatment, tests, and masks. Biden has also asked Congress to reinstate tax credits to help small and mid-sized businesses provide paid sick leave and family leave for those sick with COVID-19. In efforts to help get more people vaccinated worldwide, Zients reported that the U.S. has shipped 485 million doses so far of the 1.2 billion promised doses. Supply, he said, quote, hasn't been a constraint so far this year, close quote, but the White House is calling on Congress to, quote, provide more funding for state and USAID-led efforts to help get shots in more arms around the world, close quote. If you have thoughts on Congress COVID funding asked for by Biden and White House COVID-19 response coordinator Jeff Zients, you can contact your congressperson or senators. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings, welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. A lot of people are thinking of taking trips this time of year, and we spend a lot of money traveling. It's worthwhile to put a little energy into what to bring, so that you don't get sick in a foreign country. So what are some of the priorities? Well, before that, I'm going to say, if you can keep your luggage with you, that's a great idea. I've also learned the hard way. It's good to store things like money in two different places, just in case some calamity happens, and to be extra careful to have copies of your passport and your ID in another location. So what would I bring? Well, I certainly would think of having some homeopathic arnica or some kind of formula that's for jet lag, which is usually made with homeopathic arnica. That's going to help you not to have jet lag. What a great idea. And I really find that a bottle of lavender or tea tree oil is so valuable. Not only can you use it for a sponge bath, you can smell it in case you're exposed to some stagnant air on the airplane or the train or the bus. One other remedy I really love, it's a Japanese remedy called Ume Plum Concentrate, U-M-E. It's a naturally fermented apricot, technically, but it gets called a plum. And it's really good for any kind of digestive upset, which can happen in this country as well as a foreign country. Ume is very alkalinizing, and it can help settle an upset stomach. It's good for nausea. It helps to prevent parasites. It's really one of those don't leave home without it. I also think a bottle of Rescue Remedy is great. Rescue Remedy is good for fear of flying, stress, fear of new experiences, which we always have when we go traveling. You would simply put two drops under your tongue, and it's like a little miracle helping you to feel calm. I would also think of some echinacea tincture. Echinacea is going to stimulate white blood cell production. It's great in case you feel like you might be coming down with something, which could really get in the way of having a wonderful trip. A little bit of herbal salve can't hurt. Maybe one with some calendula and comfrey. Hey, and if you have that lavender or tea tree oil, you can also apply that topically to an impending pimple or to a cut so that it doesn't get infected. It also works as a bug repellent as well as to treat bug bites. So you don't have to bring a lot, but a few things can help you feel safe, secure, and have a wonderful trip. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
this Thursday at 9 a.m. for another installment in our monthly series, The Radio Book Club, a collaboration between KGNU and the Boulder Bookstore. Our guest is Fort Collins author Stephen Schwartz, whose latest book is The Tenderest of Strings. It's a novel set in a fictitious small town in northeastern Colorado.
It's a kind of step back in time. There's a barber shop. There's a coffee shop that doesn't even serve espresso. There's a parade. And I was fascinated by this place. And I was fascinated by how towns sometimes don't progress in a way that other places like Fort Collins growing exponentially do, or Boulder, for instance.
Tune in to hear Stephen Schwartz this Thursday at 9 a.m. and find out more about the Radio Book Club at news.kgnu.org.
And the weather today is sunny with a high near 55, but it's going to be breezy a little bit with a north wind 13 to 22 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 34 miles per hour. Tonight is going to be mostly clear with a low around 33, north-northwest winds 8 to 14 miles per hour, becoming west in the evening. But Thursday is going to be sunny with a high near 62 degrees. It's going to be a little breezy, but really nice. And on Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 37. It seems like the weekend is coming super sunny. On Friday, we're going to have 64 degrees and Saturday 72. I think the weather is changing. We're really going into spring now, and Sunday we're going to have a 74 degrees. So that's for the weather this coming weekend. I think that it is time for springtime and a change, and we all need a change.
Musica Mundi is your musical ticket to the world. This international show spans the musical globe every Wednesday night. From current neo-traditional styles to field recordings and authentic settings, Musica Mundi knows no borders. You'll hear eclectic sounds from around the world that elevate and celebrate diverse voices. Tune into Musica Mundi Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. here on KGNU.
All of us at KGNU want to thank you. So many listeners heard the call during our spring fun drive from KGNU and answered it. Because of the hundreds of people who donated during the drive, we are so close to reaching our goal for this season. If you have not had a chance to make a donation, please do so now at kgnu.org. Thank you again for supporting Real Radio by Real People and for being the you in KGNU.
Thank you for joining us on today's Morning Magazine. Special thanks to Hannah Stewart, Zoe Schacht, Matt Hoisch, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program, and to Alexis Kenyon for her production support. I have been your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown, and then San Fuqua speaks with Lori Pick, head of the Natural Hazards Center at CU Boulder, about some of the white research related to the Marshall Fire, and then a conversation with Boulder musician and musical ambassador for peace, Cameron Powers. But first, BBC headlines.